And welcome to the Fanboy Garage. I'm Chris Lasanti, joined by my co-host, Aaron Varola.
Hey, hey. What's going on, people? How we doing today? Episode 29, getting closer to 30. It's like good age. Yeah. What's up, people? What's up, Chris?
What's going on, man? So, there's not much going on way of the stuff that we talk about. We are going to see Aquaman. By the time everybody's listening to this, at least on the day it drops, it will be tomorrow that we're going to go see Aquaman. From the day that we're recording this, it's a little while longer, but that should be kind of cool. The reviews are trickling in now for Aquaman, and it's not going to be a Wonder Woman-like critical success. Although right now, I just checked before we started recording, and just full disclosure, we're recording this on Wednesday night, so just in case people are wondering, and it's at 67% right now on Rotten Tomatoes. It's slipping a little bit. It was at like 76%, I think, when the initial reviews came out. So it's flipped. It's inverted now. So it's still fresh, and I guess there's probably a good chance that it'll stay fresh, as the time goes on. But so it's not a critical disaster,
right?
But it's not going to be. I was starting to suspect, based on that early word of mouth, that it was going to be a kind of a Wonder Woman type of thing, and it clearly isn't, at least as far as critics go.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it'd be interesting to see what the audience score is on that, because those tend, in these cases, sometimes they tend to sway dramatically. They're completely different. But we're checking it out Friday. We're excited. I'm excited to do it with all of our Revenge of the Fans cohort. So it'll be good to see some of the rest of the RTF crew, as well as some listeners across the board. So I'm excited for, a ripping, roaring good time with the Aqua Bro. I wonder, when we start talking about Rotten Tomatoes, you can almost foresee after its opening weekend, just the hordes of complainers about, critic bias and all of that rolling out. So I'm kind of waiting for the train crash to happen, because I just know that it's coming. You can almost hear it coming down the tracks. Is there such a thing? Maybe, but I tend to not hold Rotten Tomatoes to the highest standard. So that is what it is.
But I think the narrative that there's a critic bias, it's stupid. To be honest with you, it's a tired narrative. It's silly. The fact of the matter, like, what is the critics' bias exactly? That they're anti-DC? I mean, then explain the Nolan trilogy. I mean, come on. I mean,
explain Wonder Woman.
Explain Wonder Woman. There's so many things, and explain a lot of movies. Explain Superman the movie. Explain Batman 89. I mean, this idea that it's a tired narrative. It's born out of the whole BVS thing. People still haven't recovered from that. And that's where that all comes from. We haven't seen Aquaman yet, so it's hard to say. I don't really care I really don't care at this point what the critics think and what the Rotten Tomatoes score is.
I'm going to go see it.
Sure, I'm going to judge the movie based on myself, and I'm sure a lot of people are going to go see this movie anyway, because it seems like it's going to be a very big hit. Mm-hmm. And that's all that counts. I mean, if it captures the audience's imagination, it doesn't matter. And we put so much stock in the Rotten Tomatoes score because I think of the whole BVS thing. That was the first movie where, in a long time, where, the Rotten Tomatoes score was like an event. Like, it was like, oh my God, wait, what? Because I think it was so hard to fathom the idea that a Batman and Superman movie could get that poorly reviewed.
Right.
That it was just such a shock to the system. I don't think there's a critic bias. I think that you know, there are just movies that resonate more with critics because they look at films differently. I mean, I've spoken about this on Twitter a lot. You know, critics look at movies differently than audiences do. They have an agenda when they go into a movie. They have a job to do, and they have to. There are things that they're not going to be able to overlook that the audience should be overlooking because they're doing a job,
right?
And we're there just to have fun, and they're there to actually critique a movie and pick it apart and look for flaws that we don't really care about. So, you know, I think that's a big part of it.
Yeah, yeah, I agree 100%. So, I mean, do you think that that conversation and narrative will kick up after its opening weekend?
I don't know that I will, because I think it's going to have a big opening weekend, so I don't think it's going to really be that big a deal. You know, and I don't really, and well, here's the thing. So there's another movie that we're actually going to talk about in this episode, and I think it's I think it's a perfect example of what we're talking about now. Is that, you know, take a movie like Venom, which got horrendous reviews. You know, it was like in the 20% range, you know, but it had a big opening weekend, much bigger than expected. And the movie made over $850 million worldwide, which was way bigger than expected. Yeah. So first of all, so much for the idea of like a bad Rotten Tomatoes score affecting people, you know, ability to want to go out to see a movie. Cause there's a movie that, you know, way overperformed, despite a terrible Rotten Tomatoes score. So clearly it resonated with audiences, and people wanted to go see it no matter what, and they formed their own opinions of it. And we're going to get your opinion of it in a little bit, because you finally have seen the movie. So I think that's the movie that you look at now and say, yeah, it doesn't really matter. You know, people, if you did not get audiences to go out to see your movie, then you did a poor job of marketing it. Or the word of mouth amongst the audiences was not strong. Because that word of mouth amongst audiences, I think, holds a lot more weight than the Rotten Tomatoes score does. And that's the thing with, like, BVS was that, you know, look, the word of mouth clearly wasn't there because it had a huge opening weekend. And then it just tailed off. So, you know, that's word of mouth. That's not critics. You know, people don't care about the Rotten Tomatoes score 3 weeks later. If they're going to care, they're going to care opening weekend when it made like $160 some million. So, yeah, I think Aquaman is fine. I think it's going to do really well. It seems like it's going to do in the $100 million range.
How do you think?
It's what it seems
for opening weekend.
I mean, like, so I've seen $95 million thrown out there. I've seen $90 million. You never know. I mean, again, these are like the one thing that I think it is doing is following the Wonder Woman trajectory as far as box office expectations.
Right.
And, you know, Wonder Woman by this time was, they were saying, oh, maybe $90 million. Oh, maybe $95 million. And then it wound up doing over 100. So
yeah, it was like, 125?
Yeah, so I don't, was it that high? Maybe it was.
Well, it may have been.
Either way, it was higher than expected, and I think Aquaman will be in that $100 million range, you know, give or take a few million here or there.
So it seems like a lot of people went to go, well, at least to me, they took advantage of that Amazon Prime thing.
It seems like it, yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if that has any impact on that. Not that that's like a substantial number of, you know, huge number of people that went to go see it, but like I know a lot of people that went and saw it already.
Yeah, it seems like a lot of people have seen it, and I think it made a couple of million bucks from those. So, you know, yeah, maybe that'll – but I don't think it's enough to really move the needle either way as far as – you know, it's not like I don't think that Amazon thing cost them, you know, $10 million.
Right.
Worth of opening weekend box office.
Actually, I stand corrected. Wonder Woman made 103.
Oh, there you go. Well, either way. I mean, still, the point is, though, at this time, you know, people were still saying Wonder Woman maybe 90 million, 95 million. It wasn't until, like, the Saturday of its opening weekend that people were like, nope, this thing's going to do over 100.
And, I mean, it came, you know, it came at a time that was, like, largely uncontested. You know, first week of June, Aquaman has, you know, some competition we talked about at length. So, do I think that that could, steal a little wind from its sails potentially? If I were to guess, I'd probably say 90, give or take 5 million.
Sure. Which is
So
still excellent. So,
yeah, no, that's fantastic. That's a really that's something to balk at for sure. I'm also interested to see how the other movies perform. So I'll be, I'm gonna be watching Box Office Mojo like a hawk on Monday and see how the actuals roll out.
yeah. So
So
we'll see Aquaman, and hopefully we love it. And we'll be talking about it, I'm sure, down the road.
So wait, before we get off of Aquaman, real quick. I mean, the way you just said that, you're like, hopefully we love it. Has any of the because Twitter is on fire, and I don't know how often you've been checking in on that, but people are ranking Aquaman in the sort of grand scheme of the DCEU or DCU, whatever you want to call it these days. Has any of the reviews or anything you've read shaken your confidence in the film in terms of like what you might get out of it?
So I have really not been on Twitter
Yeah.
much, and so I th what you just said is I didn't even know that people were doing that already.
Oh, well, so you
Yeah,
really have not been.
no, I have not, and I have actually not read a single review of Aquaman. I know what the Rotten Tomatoes score is, and I saw the critic consensus thing, but I have not read an individual review for Aquaman, partly because I really haven't been on Twitter much, and I that's usually the only place that I tend to look at reviews. Like, I don't these days I don't really go on Rotten Tomatoes much, and actually, unless there's something controversial, I don't tend to read the individual reviews that much.
Yeah,
Maybe
neither do
after
I.
I see the movie, I'll look back on it just to kind of gauge where I was at with it versus other people, but so I don't know. I'm looking forward to it. I was looking forward to it before. I don't know. I guess I had a hope that, critically it was going to be kind of in the Wonder Woman range. But the fact that it isn't doesn't really affect me at all. It's more in the Man of Steel range, and that's fine.
Right.
So no, it hasn't really affected me. And as far as the now, so just since you mentioned this ranking thing. They're ranking Aquaman. Where are they ranking? With the other DCEU stuff? Or with just okay.
So, Suicide Squad, Justice League, all of those
Got it.
films.
Okay. And
So,
where has it been ranking in general? Third? Second?
second, third,
Okay.
in most
Yeah. Well,
cases.
I mean, it's not surprising. I mean, it's really not. Because you have. I mean, yeah, you're going to have your people who are BVS people. But for the most part, I think.
Surprisingly, I mean, most of the rankings that I've seen have Wonder Woman at the number one
Well,
spot.
right, which it should be.
Sure, and it's usually there's a trade-off between BVS and Man of Steel in the number two when Aquaman is number three.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. Usually it'll then if not that, then Aquaman is number two.
Yeah, and that makes sense. I mean, because obviously Suicide Squad is a disaster,
Yeah,
so.
I was more interested at what sits at the bottom. Is Suicide Squad worse than Justice League or vice versa? So,
Yes. Yes, it is, I think.
yeah, Suicide Squad is
I mean,
not,
Justice
well,
League,
I'm not even getting
obviously,
into.
if you're going to look into the, if you're one of the people who are like, what it could have been and what happened to it, that's different. But if you're just judging what was actually on the screen, Justice League is a more pleasurable, entertaining experience in a bubble, like in a vacuum, right? Just
Yeah.
watching it like that, it's a more entertaining experience than Suicide Squad for me.
Sure.
Despite everything. Forget
For
what it
sure.
could have been and what it
Yeah,
was and
it's
is and all
surprisingly it's
those
more
things.
cohesive to me.
Yeah, well, yeah, which
Which
it's
is like
amazing.
bizarre.
Yeah.
I find Suicide Squad to be virtually unwatchable. Like
Yeah.
there's yeah, anyways, we're not gonna get into that,
No, but
but
anyway, so well, that's interesting. So
yeah.
I mean, it's not the biggest body of work, obviously, that we're comparing these movies to.
Right.
But yeah, I guess it's just something that people are going to do
Yeah,
because
and I mean if we surprise folks, if if we can pull it together, we might have some, a short episode on our reactions to Aquaman. So maybe we'll provide our own personal rankings after we see it.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird that, like you mentioned earlier, so many of the people within our circles have seen this movie already and have given their opinions on it, that I almost feel like now it's almost like anticlimactic now, because like reviews were coming out like a week ago for this movie.
And then the embargo lifted, and then everybody and their mother who was part of this Amazon thing, like they took to Twitter and have been commenting on the movie. And just, so like one, some of my questions were like, is everyone, because it was like these glowing there was like a glowing response, which is great, for me, I was a little tepid to even, entertain that, because I'm like, after Justice League, okay, cool. I mean, everyone seems to genuinely like the movie, so that gets me like really hyped about seeing it. But again, I mean, I kind of feel like we've missed out, like we were late to the game and it's still opening weekend, so a little weird. But that's, I mean, it's cool that they're offering stuff like that. I kind of wish I took advantage of it.
Yeah, I mean, I might have. See, the thing is, I wanted to go into this watch party thing not having seen it,
Yeah, same.
because I certainly wasn't going to want to see this. I don't care what movie it is. I'm not going to want to see it twice in a week. And it would have
Depends on
just,
how good it is, though.
even then. But I mean, I won't.
Or The
Well, I wouldn't
Last
know that
Jedi.
obviously until I walked into it. So.
True, true.
But the thing is that so I waited, and apparently we were like the only people that waited, but we waited.
Yeah. No, I mean, Brett and Vanessa of the Revenge of the Fans podcast have not seen it. So, they're kind of going, they're going into it clean. Mario had his press screener, so so we'll be in good company. We'll have lots to talk about, I'm
Sure.
sure.
All right, so speaking of good company, you did finally watch Venom,
Yes, I
which
did.
now, so I told you had to see this movie. I said, you got to
Yeah.
experience it. I said, don't buy it,
No.
rent it, but definitely watch it.
I did
Don't,
spend
don't.
$6 on it, though.
Oh.
And I'm glad that it was only $6.
Okay, so why don't you, so I've already given my thoughts on, actually on two shows. I did it on our show and on the Revengers podcast. I gave my thoughts on
Yeah.
this movie. So why don't you give us your thoughts? I've been anxiously anticipating your thoughts on this, because when you sent me the text to tell me you had seen it, I was like, I don't want to know. Just save
Yeah.
it for the show. So go.
It's a beautiful train wreck. It is. It's God, I you know, it is one of those things where it's kind of hard to put your finger on it, because there are some really good like scenes in there, like the motorcycle chase scene was really cool, and Eddie Brock is a very interesting character, although a little, like I would say, very, very, very inconsistent. And Venom himself was fun. It's definitely a very fun character, and not what I would have expected them to do. I mean, I'm not really so, like, kind of thinking about the comic book era and, the character, I'm in the bucket of like Venom, Spider-Man's greatest foe. Like, I didn't really get into the Lethal Protector stuff, so I'm not really sure how crazy and off the wall, Venom's dialogue was in those books. But it was fun to see it play out. If I would compare it to another movie, it would be Transformers. And I would actually rank Transformers, the first one, above Venom. There was just a lot of like not really fleshed out stuff that was happening, and it was more action sequences. And when it got rolling, like when the symbiote starts coming out, like that's probably when you have the most fun. And then it just kind of goes off the rails. It gets back on the rails, and you're like, okay, yeah, okay, I'm still with you here. This is interesting. And then, I don't know, you know, that one point where like Venom, the female version of Venom pops up. I'm like, what? Where did that come from? Like, why would she want this symbiote? It's like, okay. So it's just kind of like, it was kind of like all over the place. And but I had fun watching it. There were some parts though towards the end where I legit started nodding off because I just there's only so it's I'd imagine it's like a caffeine rush, you know, like there's only so much I could handle. And then at some point I kind of like went into some like a I don't know a viewing coma. I was like, oh God, I think I just need to take a little nap for a second. So I kind of had to nod off and then rewind some parts here and there. But like the third act, like that whole fight scene at the end of the film is just a mess. And I don't know. It was just a mess. That's all I could say. It
Yeah.
was it was
But
it,
now,
yeah, I don't know. It's just it
if
was like
you.
interesting to see and it had like a lot of cool like potential, but it was just a mess.
If you. Just to kind of remind people of my two primary thoughts, right, on this movie were that, and you were having trouble at the time trying to kind of wrap your head around my thoughts on it. So just to recap, my two primary thoughts were, one, that this movie is quite an experience,
Yeah.
and it's not a good movie, but it's quite an experience. And two, that it was a movie that I didn't love, I didn't hate, and I wasn't indifferent towards. So
Yeah.
now that you've seen it, all these months later, those being my thoughts, do you get at all where I was coming from at that point?
Absolutely, 100%. Like I'm struggling to articulate whether I liked it or not.
Right.
You know, if I were to kind of like take everything and put it in a box, it's like opening socks for Christmas, I'd say. It's like, oh, well, I guess I'll use those. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's kind of the way I'm looking at it. It's like, okay. Oh, all right. Yeah, that's some cool stuff. I'll be honest, I'm glad they didn't mash Spider-Man into this at all. And because this is so different. Like
Right.
this is not the Venom I'd want to see with Spider-Man, I guess, if that makes any
No, yeah, I
sense.
get it. I mean, this is very much it's you're turning Venom into Spider-Man essentially in this movie. In a way. I mean, in the sense that
Yeah.
this is not a villain really.
No, and he, you know, the thing is too, he's not an anti-hero
No, he's
either.
not. Which was the biggest
He's,
surprise to me that I had.
yeah,
Yeah.
like I think I would have been, like if I were to redo the story, right? If I were, you know, the writer, the screenwriter on this, I think I would have leaned in a little bit more on the like little girl, protector thing, you know, like the legitimate like lethal protector kind of element of the story. Otherwise, there really is no other motivation for Venom to want to protect humanity other than like the it looks pretty up here. You know what
Right.
I mean? Like he goes into this thing where he's like, oh, you know, I was coming here. We were coming here to kind of basically destroy everything, but now that I'm up on top of this rooftop and looking at like the skyline, everything looks so pretty.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I'll stay. I think I
It's
like it here.
excellent
You
writing.
know what I mean? And it's like, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't even
And
remember that was the motivation for why that was happening, but okay.
and what's his name? Riz Ahmed
Yep.
is such a great actor, but it's such a
Well,
waste.
everything,
Michelle Williams, such a
yeah,
great actress.
everything
What a
else in the
waste.
movie is, is a waste. I mean, nothing else is developed.
Except for Tom Hardy.
That's what I mean. Like, nothing else. Everything happening around Venom is a complete waste. Nothing. Everything's underdeveloped, underwritten. There's no motive. Everything's just poor. But there's this fascinating thing happening within this underdeveloped, underwritten mess of a film. Is this just fascinating portrayal, performance...
Yeah, but you know the funny thing is about the performance is that it doesn't get better than the moment where he meets them in the restaurant, and he's trying to explain that he's sick,
right?
And he's looking for food, and he hears Venom like in the back of his mind, and he ends up jumping into the lobster tank because he's hot. Like, that's awesome stuff. Like, I literally was like laughing out loud, and then you know some of the other stuff in the apartment where he's like, you know, basically wiping the floor with everybody. That was like really cool stuff, but you know, it doesn't really, that's at the high, that's the high points for me, in terms of the acting, because then at that point, once Venom assumes total control and we get like, you know, more screen time of him, Eddie Brock kind of takes a back seat.
Yes. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, even the conversations he's having with Michelle Williams' character about, oh, did you really like that kiss? Like, you know, all of that. Like, that's just empty. It doesn't mean anything.
Right.
Because I was never bought in on their relationship.
Well, of course not.
They break them up in the first, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah, because it's completely underdeveloped. That's what I mean. Yeah. Like, nothing else around just that isolated, like, the buddy cop or the buddy, relationship thing between Eddie and Venom. Like, nothing else is interesting, because how could it be? You have an underdeveloped romance, you have an underdeveloped villain, so your romance, and those are the two, other than the idea of Venom, right, and him merging with Eddie Brock, which is your main plot, the other plot elements, the romance and the villain, are completely underdeveloped, so they don't work. So you're really just watching like this one-man show kind of. And yeah, it's just, like I said, it's just an experience. It's a fascinating movie. There's going to be a sequel, obviously. And
which is,
and there's potential. I mean, there's potential for the sequel to be, you know, one of those movies that's where it's much better than the original.
Yeah, I mean, gosh, the teaser, this little stringer mid-credit scene, is awesome. That's probably like the best, one of the best scenes in the entire film, and it's like 2 minutes long.
Yeah, right.
You know, with Woody Harrelson.
Yeah.
You know, if it didn't make all of that money, I wouldn't be surprised if it didn't have a sequel.
Sure.
You know, I think Ruben Fleischer got off super easy, man. Like, dude, I don't. Well,
he made a movie that wasn't well received by critics, but people went out to see it. So, I mean, technically, the director's job is to not make a movie that, you know, just make a movie that people happen to go see, even though everyone else kind of crapped on it.
Mm-hmm.
The director's job is to direct the movie and make the best movie possible. So, in one way, he didn't necessarily do his job. But in another way, he kind of did, because he, at least for the studio, he delivered a movie that made money, a lot of money.
And it was on a limited budget, too.
Yeah, $100 million.
Which I also have to say was noticeable to me. Like, some of the sequences were just, it looked like, you know, goo just flying around the screen. Mm-hmm. And when I say Transformers, I mean like that whole third act battle scene reminded me of Transformers. Like, I don't know what I'm looking at. Yeah, I see teeth over there, some goop over there, a blade over there. I'm like, what's happening? It was a bit of like, you know, CGI porn, and it just kind of like checked out for a bit.
Right.
And that's in one of those moments where my eyes kind of glazed over, and I was like, holy cow, I don't even know what I'm watching right now.
Yeah, it's kind of like at the end of Ang Lee's Hulk when Nick Nolte becomes that
Exactly like that. Oh my dude, that's perfect. That is a perfect example. Yeah, exactly like that. Where you're like, oh yeah, okay, the good guy and bad guy have to face off.
Yeah.
Right? And in that sense, you know, it's like Riz Ahmed's character seemed like such a vicious guy, and yet when he merges with the symbiote, it's really not that. Although when he murders everybody in the control room.
Yeah, that was pretty vicious.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah. But again, you know, his character, that was just, it was unearned.
Right.
You know, it was like almost like in a way, and again, like we talked about in Halloween, the latest one, when the doctor, that story arc with the doctor.
Yeah, and
where
he
puts the mask, he flips and puts the mask on. You're like, well, that was unearned. Like, where the hell did that come from?
Yeah.
You know, so
I mean, you get the sense that with his character, you know, especially when he sets up the girl.
Well, yeah, I mean, they do little moments, but still it was like, oh, really? This is, you know.
Yeah, but even her, I mean, she flips against him, and yet she's been helping him collect homeless people.
Yeah.
And you know, in the beginning of the movie, Eddie is on the case for like, oh, what, you know, you've been testing pharmaceuticals against on these patients. So she's been a part of all of that, but now you've got symbiotes and you're like, nah, it's not cool anymore.
Right.
You just like developed a conscience. All right. The other thing that I didn't understand, which they didn't really explain at all, was like the stasis between the symbiote and the person. Like, they don't really go into why it chooses a particular person over the other. There's some sort of like balance there. They tried to do it with the rabbit scene, but it didn't really make much sense. So I guess it gets to the point, it's like, if the thing isn't eating, if the symbiote isn't eating, it's going to start eating everybody's folks' insides.
Yeah. Yeah. It's...
So I'm like, what? So they're not feeding the homeless people that you're testing? Like, it was like the first guy that bonds with his symbiote is like fine, and then he's like, and they're like, it's eating him from the inside out, and I'm like, well, why don't you just give him food?
Yeah, you were thinking way too much apparently about that.
I guess so. Anyways, like I said, I'm glad I didn't go to the theaters to see it. That's a lot of money to spend on a movie like that, but I'm glad I did. And if I were to like rank it, it's a C.
Yeah, I couldn't even venture to put a letter on word, because I don't even know what, I still don't really know what the hell.
Better
I think
than Suicide it, Squad.
Well, yes, it there is.
Yeah, that's kind of like what I do.
I don't know that better than measuring it. I don't know that Suicide Squad should ever be a measuring stick, but better than Suicide Squad could be referring to many movies.
Yeah. I mean, if we think,
including
if we really...
Police Academy 6, I mean, that was better than Suicide Squad.
I mean, okay, so if we thought about Venom and its sort of ranking within, I'd say comic book movies in general, is it a movie that is better than Thor: The Dark World?
Let's just put it this way. I barely remember what happens in Thor: The Dark World. I saw it in the theaters. I don't know that I've even seen it again since. It'll be a long time before I forget Venom. So in some ways, it's definitely it's more of an experience. It's a much more memorable film than Thor: The Dark World. So I don't, is it better? I'll probably watch Venom more than I'll ever watch Thor: The Dark World. Now, I don't know what that means. Mm-hmm. Does that mean it was better in my opinion? I guess it does. I was more entertained by it. We'll leave it at that. Okay. There really isn't much in Thor: The Dark World that to really sink your teeth into. But then again, there are probably many movies, thinking about all of the comic book movies that have come out, where I could probably say like Venom will stand out more than they will. I don't know that they're necessarily better films. It's a better film than those as far as, you know, the technical elements of what a film is, but it's just such a wild ride that it's going to stand out more than, say, like a nondescript paint-by-numbers, competently made comic book movie. Because this is not a competently made film, but it's certainly not paint-by-numbers either.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm just trying to put my finger on exactly what that is exactly.
Yeah, I don't.
It's like,
yeah.
Okay, so it's like, is it the character of Venom being brought to life? You know, because he didn't really do anything that I haven't seen before. But there, I think it might be, if there was anything that I could put my finger on, it is certainly the dynamic between Eddie Brock and Venom that I found to be the most enjoying thing of that film.
No, it is 100% legitimately enjoyable. And that's why, you know, that element of the movie, is so fascinating, and it elevates, despite the fact that everything else is falling apart around it. It's so fascinating and so strong, and Tom Hardy is so in. He's all in on this character. He's just has so much conviction. He's believing everything he's doing. Like, he is not mailing this thing in.
Right.
And that's, I think, what separates it from certain, even, like I said, competently made films where people kind of seem like they were sleepwalking through them. So, you know, this is not a, you know, it's, to me, it's more enjoyable than like Green Lantern. It's more enjoyable than Daredevil. It's more enjoyable than, you know, a lot of those types of movies.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's, I don't know. It's just going to be one of those weird movies that holds a special place in like my history of like bad movies that I kind of had fun with. And
yeah,
I'm willing to overlook things that I normally wouldn't, just because of how much I enjoyed like one particular element of it.
It kind of reminds me of like the Nicolas Cage Ghost Rider.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't really like that at all. I liked this better, but yeah, I kind of
wasn't like what I expected Ghost Rider to be, but I remember bits and pieces of that. And thinking, this is what I'm going to get. Because at the time, you know, the MCU didn't even exist. It's like Ghost Rider over here, Fantastic Four over there.
Right.
Spider-Man over here. So.
Yeah.
It's super fascinating.
Yeah. It's a movie that if you stack it up just based on the reviews, right? And with the other movies that are in that type of range, it's a movie that you're going to probably easily dismiss just looking at the rest of the movies that were kind of got similar reviews. But you probably shouldn't, because in some ways it's a more rewarding experience than a lot of those other movies would be.
Do you think that opinion will change if you watch it again?
It may. I don't know. Like, I mean, I haven't seen it again. You know, I may watch it again and be like, no, you know, this was just kind of bad. But I don't know. I mean, I don't know watching it again. I mean, if I'm going to like the Tom Hardy and the Eddie Venom stuff less, I mean, I don't see that not holding up for me. And that was the whole thing for me. Again, I didn't like the movie in the sense that it's not a good movie, but I enjoyed it. I had fun with it. And I don't see why. I might actually like it more like sitting at home. You know, just being able to focus, knowing the flaws of it and kind of having accepted them already and just being able to just enjoy the things I did enjoy, I might wind up enjoying it more, but I don't know. I'll find out when I watch it again. We'll see. Mm.
Cool.
Yeah. So, I mean, there really isn't much else going on as far as anything newsworthy. So let's just probably jump into...
Real quick, before we do that, there was something that I discovered on Entertainment Weekly, and it was about Daredevil. So I just finished season three, and as I mentioned last episode, I kind of was slow burning it, but oh my God, what a finale. What a finale. Like, I immediately went to Twitter and was like, this was probably one of the best Marvel moments ever. Like, from film to across all of the TV stuff, it was amazing. And so I was digging in a little bit to see, if there had been any other developments in terms of, or rumors regarding the cancellation. And one of the actresses in the show, the one who plays Marcy Stahl, her name is Amy Rutberg, commented about the cancellation. And if you remember last week, I had shared a rumor that apparently it was Marvel that pulled the plug on the show. Well, apparently, according to Miss Rutberg, she said that's completely false. That it was not Marvel's decision to pull the plug on Daredevil. In fact, that it was Netflix's decision, that she has contacts pretty high up in the Marvel organization, and they were just as surprised as the actors were. They had heard rumors of season four going into production as early as February of 2019, and that they were, sort of getting ready to start on that. So it's in their conversations in terms of the cast, they thought it would at least go for five seasons. So it's kind of it's super interesting to see, the back and forth between Netflix and Disney. Of course, folks from EW reached out to Netflix about commenting on the story, and nobody reached out to them. But yeah, I was pissed actually as I finished the season, because I'm like, damn, this was like the best Marvel show. Like, not even just in terms of the series itself, but like what we got in season three was like some of the best Marvel material ever. And it's a shame that they pulled the plug. So, just wanted to share that quick update. I don't know if you have any thoughts about that.
No, I mean, it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
I kind of thought that was what probably happened. So, yeah, I mean, and we've spoken about it. I mean, it's unfortunate that and forget the Marvel aspect of it for a second. I thought it was just a really well-written, good show. Regardless of the theme or the topic or whatever, the genre. So anytime you lose a show like that, it kind of sucks, but especially like this, but hopefully it's not the last
Yeah.
that we're gonna see of the character and this version of the character specifically.
Yeah, Marvel seems to be committed to that. So hopefully we'll see Matt Murdock again soon.
Oh, and also talking of streaming and shows and stuff that are coming back, we did get a tweet of a tease for Cobra Kai season two,
Hell yeah, we did.
which is pretty exciting. So,
Yeah. Dude, that guy does not age, man. I
no, I
was looking at his
know.
pictures again, and I'm like, how old are you? I mean,
Yeah.
this is when plastic surgery goes right.
Yep.
God.
All
If
right.
anything, I mean, I was saying this to a couple of people about Creed 2, but Sylvester Stallone's eyebrows are like permanently fixed to the top of his forehead, because of his, plastic surgery choices. But this guy looks like he walked out of 1984. Time
Yes.
travel, man. Crazy.
Yeah.
Anyways.
So we don't really have a lot in the way of questions, so let's just get into it. So now Ron Diesel asks us a couple of questions. One, comic book movies from best to worst 2018. We have not seen Aquaman yet, so we'll have to wait until after we see it, because that I we've kind of gone through a list already, and
Yeah.
Aquaman was the one that we hadn't seen yet. So, and you hadn't seen Venom, obviously, at the time.
Right.
But I'm assuming that Venom's not gonna is probably gonna be at the bottom of your list anyway.
I mean, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, but until we see Aquaman, once we see Aquaman, we can really give our full thoughts on that.
For sure.
He had another question, though. Looking at the Oscar 2019 list for visual effects, what are our thoughts on the list, and what movies should have been on the list if you disagree with the Oscars list for visual effects? So I am going to be honest with you. I've never really put much thought into the visual effects Oscars category, but I think you have the list. So let's
yeah. So I mean, these are just front runners. It's not the actual list of nominees. Let me see. Yeah, it's like a short list of folks. So these aren't necessarily the nominees, right? Okay, so visual effects. Let's find the list here. Gotcha. Okay, so we have Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Okay.
Avengers Infinity War.
Right.
Black Panther. Christopher Robin. First Man. Jurassic World Fallen Kingdom. Mary Poppins Returns. Ready Player One. Solo, A Star Wars Story, and Welcome to Marwen.
Okay.
So, off the bat, 1, 2, 3, 4 of these movies I've not seen.
Yes, I've not seen. I'm assuming I've not seen the same movies that you have not seen. Because yeah. I'm pretty sure we've seen the same ones, yeah.
Except you didn't watch Jurassic World.
I have not seen Jurassic World.
Okay, I did. So, I mean, the list seems fair to me. Again,
I'm just having, again with the Mary Poppins Returns.
Dude, I'm telling you, man, Disney is hot for this movie. Like, or people are hot.
And they must have sent some
serious screeners.
And you know, we talked about it on the last show when you're talking about the Golden Globes, and I was like, wait a minute, did anybody see this movie? Yeah, sorry, that was pardon me, the studio line. I was like, did anybody see this movie? But now here we go. And you know, it's amazing because the reviews on this movie are okay.
Yeah.
Like they're not even great. Like considering the fact that it's already gotten some nominations and stuff, before it's even come out, you would think, wow, this is going to be, it's going to be something. And the reviews are like, okay. And they're on the same level basically as like Aquaman, which is interesting because it's Aquaman being a very big CGI movie is not on this list.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I mean, to me, Infinity War was the best of those. I mean, mainly right. because of the Thanos stuff. I mean, Thanos.
Hell yeah, man.
I mean, Thanos was real, man. So in that movie, and to me, that was the biggest achievement in CGI this year.
Yeah.
Now, visual effects, not just CGI, but it's a big part of it now.
Right.
So the scope of that movie and all the different things, I mean, that to me is the clear winner. So I don't know that anything else really matters.
I agree. I mean, having not seen Aquaman, but from everything I've heard from folks that have, apparently it's a very massively scoped CGI film and really does a phenomenal job at sort of bringing you into that world. Somebody that I spoke to who saw it, I asked them, you know, if you were to compare the creation of Wakanda against the creation of Atlantis, you know, who do you think would win? And he was like, Atlantis, hands down. And this kid's like an avid Black Panther fan. That's
yeah, the only thing is though with that is, I mean, you're talking about one world that's entirely CGI. Basically.
Oh, you mean Atlantis?
Yes.
Well, so is, oh yeah, I mean the elements of it because it's all underwater.
Yeah,
but
so clearly the visuals I think are gonna pop. And it's also because of the fact that it's an underwater city, you're gonna focus more on the visual effects aspects of it. Because you're going to be smacked in the face. Well, plus you're going to be smacked in the face with it every 30 seconds. Like, there's no way to avoid it. Whereas there are moments in Black Panther, in Wakanda, where you could basically, you could be anywhere.
True.
You know, so I think that's also a part of it. So you're going to be overwhelmed, I would imagine, by the visual effects in Aquaman, more so than in many movies that you're going to see, just because of what they had to do, the world that they're existing in.
So, you know, it also makes me wonder, like, when we think about visual effects, is it world building, and, you know, is it mostly judged on that, or is it like on the elements of visual effects that you forget are actually visual effects? So you understand where that question is going. Yep. Like Aquaman, to your point, you said you're being smacked in the face with the 30 seconds, you know, but for something like, for sake of argument, Avengers Infinity War, most of the suits that people are wearing, like Iron Man and Spider-Man, are motion capture.
Yeah.
And you forget that they're not real suits.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Or
Thanos.
Yeah, or if you look at the newer Planet of the Apes trilogy.
Exactly.
I mean,
these are, you
know, you're forgetting that these are not, you know, these are CGI creations and motion capture creations for the most part. Yeah, I think that clearly visual effects over the years has changed too, from the point of, like, you know, it was a movie with some cool effects to now you're talking about, like you said, entire worlds and characters and things being built to where the lines now between live action and animation. And, you know, we talked about it when the whole debate over the Lion King thing, like, is it live action? Is it not? It's all CGI.
Right.
Those lines are blurred now. And so now, yeah, I mean, I think what we look at as great visual effects has changed. You know, it's no longer just like, you know, hey, they made that person fly, you know, or, oh, look, like they're in outer space. Now it's, you know, the bar has been raised to the point where we look at that category a lot differently.
And I mean, it's, you know, to your point before, I think it's also now about character development, right? So Christopher Robin, for example, which I've not seen, but, you know, Ewan McGregor is interacting with CGI'd characters the whole movie.
Yeah.
You know, or for most of the movie, you know, and it's another little adventure for Winnie the Pooh and his friends. And, you know, from the trailers and things like that I've seen, it really does look like a stuffed animal come to life, kind of like Ted. But, like the fibers and all of that on the characters looks amazing. So I could see how that movie would get nominated and potentially trump something like Aquaman. I think Ready Player One is a completely different beast because it created a whole, I don't, you know, that's actually a really interesting one for me because it reminds me a little bit of Avatar. And I think it pushed boundaries a little bit, in the sense of visual effects, but, you know, I could argue the same for Aquaman to a degree, but I've not seen it. So I just can't judge it, but Ready Player One was great.
Yeah. And that's another movie where you're kind of being smacked in the face with
24/7.
Yeah.
But, and you forget about it.
Yeah.
Too. You know what I mean? It's such a, it's so overt that it becomes just like natural to whatever it is that you're watching.
Right.
Like, again, not having seen Aquaman, I wonder if there are going to be elements when, you know, we're watching the film and go, ooh, looks a little weird. I don't know if I had that kind of reaction at all in Ready Player One.
Right.
Because it was part of the story. So wow, there's a lot more that I could talk about this, so I'll just stop right there.
And the final question, which we touched on a little bit already, but Comic Book Nerd said, box office predictions for this week. He's got Aquaman doing $95 million, Mary Poppins Returns $80 million, Bumblebee $40 million, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse $25 million, and The Grinch $10 million. He wants to know what our predictions are. So I think I'm kind of on board with him with Aquaman. I said it was going to be in that range, you know, 100 million give or take, a few million here or there. You were kind of around that too.
Yeah.
I don't really have a feel for Mary Poppins Returns at all. I mean, it does come out 2 days earlier, so I don't know how that really affects anything.
Mm-hmm.
Bumblebee, 40 million. Yeah, I mean, I guess that's not ridiculous, right? I mean, 40 million for that? I don't know.
Is
that a little high, maybe? Probably a little high?
Yeah, I think we're looking more at like the 25, 30.
Yeah, see, here's what I think. I think Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, 25 million, that would be a heck of a hold for week two, because it made like 35 million for opening weekend. So, you know.
And the word of mouth on that movie has been.
Well, sure. But now you're talking about audience splitting, though, right? So, you know, Bumblebee, right. Mary Poppins, Aquaman, they're all going to pull from that same audience. So, I mean, I think if Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, if it did 25 million, that would be amazing. But I think, you know, fairly, if it does between 15 and 18 million, that they should be very excited about that.
Oh, yeah, because that's less than a 50% drop.
Yeah, and
sure.
The Grinch, I mean, the Grinch has been holding up really well. I don't really know, I don't have a feel for what I think. But, I mean, it's a holiday film at the holidays. The holds on that have been really, really strong.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really have a feel for what it's going to do.
Yeah. So Mary Poppins technically drops today.
Today,
like,
right.
On the Wednesday that we're recording this.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know. I don't know. I don't feel like, and again, I've been a little off the grid, but I don't feel like there's been an incredible amount of hype. Regarding it. So, I mean, to me, Aquaman has been where all the hype is at.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but we'll see. I don't really know. I don't have a feel for that movie yet. That's been a tough one for me since we started talking about this weekend, as to where that movie falls.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if you have a movie that does 95 and another movie that does 80 in the same week, that's pretty good. If that's what happens, obviously.
Yeah. It's also interesting to see how the long term, how these movies perform in their second, third, fourth week.
Yes.
So.
All right. So that's that. This is going to be the last show for at least a little while, right? Because we're going to.
Yeah. So, I mean, so we've got the holidays and then I've got to unfortunately do some travel for work. So we'll see what we can scrap together for you guys in the coming weeks. But I think certainly next week, you know, like I mentioned, we may do a quick little Aquaman reaction, episode, for you guys, just to send you off with a nice little holiday giveaway or holiday package, not giveaway.
Yeah.
Wrong choice of words.
Yeah.
And then we'll take a break, and then depending on sort of where things shake out, the week after, we'll have to see, but we'll play it by ear.
Yeah.
But
so, you know, hopefully everybody has really happy holidays.
Yeah.
You know, this, as this year comes to a close, you know, we definitely have to thank everybody, who's been on board, with this show since, we started. In the late spring, early summer. And, you know, one thing to get into just, you know, kind of on a personal level, you know, we interact a lot on Twitter, and, you know, there's a lot of divisiveness, and there's a lot of, you know, the things that we're talking about are things that we enjoy, but, you know, in the big scheme of things, the things that we talk about here, you know, they're comic books, they're superheroes, they're movies, they're TV, they're things that are supposed to be escapes from everything. So hopefully, you know, during this time, people get a chance to remember what really is important in life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and just realize that, you know, despite the fact that we come on and do a podcast here every week talking about these things, you know, these are distractions. And they're things that we should be having fun with. And, you know, whether it's fun conversation or fun discussion. So, you know, hopefully now as people sort of get together with family and friends and, you know, whatever it is that you do on the holidays, you know, we can start focusing on the things that are truly important. and, you know, maybe put some of this stuff aside for a little bit, because there's no need to really overcomplicate things by taking something that should be fun and making it the root of divisiveness and just evil.
Yeah. No, I agree 100%. it's kind of interesting how we've, the conversations, you know, on and offline, have become so volatile. And, you know, love what you love and respect the things that you don't, and respect the people that you may disagree with, for sure. And, you know, I think that's the value of our show in particular, in relation to, you know, some of the other podcasts that you might listen to, or even the ones that we're, you know, closely affiliated with through the Revenge of the Fans podcast network. You know, we're just two guys talking about movies. That's really it. We're not critics. We're not expert reviewers or anything like that. We're just two guys who really love talking about this stuff. And, you know, we want to, you know, help people feel comfortable enough to, you know, talk about the things that they like or things that they don't like and feel safe about it. We're certainly not two people that would attack, you know, opposing opinions. In fact, I think, you know, Chris, you and I love debating and having those kinds of conversations. And, you know, but at the end of the day, these are just movies. And there are bigger things happening in the world around us, bigger things happening in every one of our lives. So, you know, certainly spend the time during the holidays thinking, reflecting about that, relishing in those moments, because, you know, and it's a shame, actually, when I think about it, because it shouldn't just be about the holidays and using the holidays as a means to, you know, think about that stuff. We should be doing it every day. You know, I really do hope that everyone that's listening, all of the supporters, you guys all have a great and blessed holiday season, you know, with your families and whoever you spend that time with. And, you know, enjoy your time at the movies when you get out there, and enjoy the films that you're, you know, you love, and the conversations that you like to have. And hope, you know, hopefully when we come back in 2019, things will feel a little brighter. Cause I, you know, I think to some extent there's been a little bit too much negativity swirling around these days. So I will do my best to be as positive as possible, specifically on Aladdin and that awesome poster. That's a bit of news, right?
That was, yeah. Well, I did see that, and that was what it was. But yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. Anything? All right. Anything more?
No, I think that's it. So, of course, as always, you can join the conversation, tweeting us at the Fanboy Garage. You could find me at RealCLMighty.
And you can tweet at me at StartingSith on Twitter, and as always, we don't really post many pictures, but maybe that'll change. Matt, you know what? I'll do some pictures just for the watch party, and I'll post them on Instagram. Maybe I'll do like a little Instagram story.
All right.
So you can see all of our horrible looking faces. No, I'm kidding. But yeah, so check us out on Twitter at the Fanboy Garage. And also, I'm sorry, I am at Instagram at the Fanboy Garage as well.
Yeah, and thefanboygarage.com. Check it out, the episode archive, buy some merch, shop the Amazon link, all that fun stuff. And I guess
should say the Fanboy Garage one more time.
Fanboy Garage. Yeah. And so that's it. I guess happy holidays, you know, happy new year, you know, because you will not be hearing us probably until 2019. And we look forward to talking to you then. And thanks again, everyone, for your support. And we will you'll hear from us soon.
Yeah. Happy holidays, guys. Happy New Year. Talk to you later.